Jeremiah 18, we've been looking off and on at the potter and the fact that he knows the clay. Begin reading in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. We see here the reason for this object lesson that the Lord led Jeremiah to. He is speaking here to his people. They are referred to as Israel. It's also the kingdom of Judah, for the kingdom has been divided here. But he's speaking to his people, and the object lesson of the potter is this, that the potter can do as he pleases, that the potter is the one that's in charge of the clay, in charge of the project. We've looked at several things, but look in verse 4 and notice what it says. In actuality, this is the thrust of this object lesson. This is the thrust of these verses. For in verse 4 it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The clay, the vessel he was working on was marred. The word marred literally means ruined. For some reason, as he's working on the lump, as he's shaping and forming the vessel, something happens to the clay, and there's a portion of it that resists his touch, and literally it refuses to be formed into the form that he desires. It resists the potter. And what he says that he does is he makes it another vessel. He starts over. It says there in verse 4 again, was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. The word again literally means to start over. It means to return. It means to go back. And so the potter starts over. I'm glad that it doesn't say he just cast the clay aside. That's what it deserved. I would have understood if it said the potter got so upset he just threw it out the window and got him another lump. But I'm sure glad it didn't say that, since that I'm the lump. There have been many times that the potter should have thrown us away. There has been many times that the potter should not have had mercy, but he did. There have been times that we did not deserve his patience, and yet he's been patient anyway. There's been times that we resisted him and did toward him that which was wrong and that violated his nature and his work in us. There's been so many times that we resisted his work. He should have just said, I have had it with you. I am tired of trying. You will not listen. You will not let me work on you. I'm getting rid of you and I'm finding somebody else. I'm glad he doesn't cast the clay away. I'm glad he doesn't throw the clay away. But it does say that it was marred, and it says that he started over. What that literally means is he took that clay, he took that vessel that was certainly formed at least a certain degree. He had formed it at least somewhat, but when it resisted his touch and would not let him do that he desired and designed, when it resisted him, he took it and flattened it again. He started over and began to work again on the lump. So I could have said it like this. We've mentioned several things. The clay must be removed and refined and reformed and rotated and responsive and rigid and ready. Tonight I want to deal with this psalm. The clay must be reworked. Sometimes the potter has to rework the clay. Sometimes the clay refuses to cooperate. There are times that the clay resists. It refuses to yield. It refuses to allow the potter to do the work that he's desiring and he's attempting to do. Through hardness or whatever reason, the clay resists that work that the potter's doing. And we'll find tonight that there are drastic consequences because of that. Well, you notice first that the reason is simple. Now, he's working on the clay. He's working on the vessel. There's been quite a bit of progress. I mean, you think about where the clay came from. You think about the fact that it came from an old riverbed and now it's clean and it's been formed and it's been prepared and it's been made ready. There's been quite a bit of progress. And yet now here's the point. The potter begins to do something that the clay doesn't like. The potter begins to do a work on the clay that it doesn't like. And it begins to resist. It does not submit. And the reason the clay was marred, the reason the clay was ruined, the reason the form was not made as the potter desired was one thing. It wasn't the potter's fault. It wasn't the potter just looked away for a minute and was distracted by something or someone and he's the one that made the faulty move or he made a flaw and marred the vessel. It wasn't the potter's fault. It wasn't the wheel's fault. It wasn't the water's fault. It wasn't the work of the potter that was to blame. It was the blame of the clay. The clay was at fault. The vessel was at fault. The vessel was marred because it resisted the potter. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of times God's trying to do something in me that I'm not real thrilled about. There'll be a lot of times that God will try to do something in your heart and in your life that really doesn't please you so much. And it's not so easy to say, "So be it, Lord. I am the clay and you are the potter. Do what you will in my life. Do as you please. Continue the work." Here's a clay vessel that resists the hand of the potter, resists the work. It does not like what the potter is doing. Could you be honest tonight and say there's been times, if you were really honest, that that's exactly what you would say to God? "Lord, I do not like what you're doing. Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't know why you let that happen. I don't know why you let them say that. I don't know why you let them hurt me so. I don't know why you're going making me go through this." And those times it's so easy to resist the work of the potter and fight against what God's trying to do. But if we do, we're going to be marred. If we do, we're going to be the one that suffers the consequences. The answer, the reason is simple. The reason the clay was marred, the reason the form was made different, it resisted the potter. But it didn't just resist the potter because that means I don't like what it's doing. I don't like what he's doing. The clay didn't just resist the potter, it rejected the potter. For that work that he's doing is not just somebody out playing with clay. That work he's doing on that vessel is not just somebody just spending an afternoon just trying to find some way to fill time. That work that he's doing is an object of the potter. He's doing it to bring glory to himself. It's kind of like you go to Walmart and you get a job. And they, in your instruction manual, they give you a list of things that they are going to require of you. And you sit there at your kitchen table and you read down that list and you think, you know what? This is dumb. I mean, they expect me to do all this. This is what they're going to require of me. This is dumb. Now, you're resisting the rules, but at the same time, you're rejecting the manager who made the rules. Understand that? For those rules are what the manager says, this is the way it's going to be. And when we resist the potter's work, we're also rejecting the potter. The reason for the marring of the vessel is simple. The clay did not give in. The clay resisted. The potter was trying to mold the clay in such a way that it did not please the clay. And it resisted. God was trying to do a work in the people of Israel, and they didn't want that work done. And they resisted Him. The reason is simple. Look in verse 7 through 11. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. He said, if a nation or if a person is doing something that's not pleasing to me, and I speak to them and I warn them and they get right, I withdraw the judgment that was coming. Now, if they don't repent, we're getting ready to read that in a minute, they're going to suffer the consequences. So notice what it says, continuing reading on in verse 9. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, he's speaking to Jeremiah, and he's saying, go to my people. This is what I want you to tell them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way and make your way and your doings good. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, if you'll listen to me, I will draw the judgment. If you'll let me do the work I'm trying to do, you'll receive good. But if you don't, he's saying, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. I'm afraid that's where our nation's heading. I'm afraid the Lord is speaking like he did through Jeremiah and saying to our nation, if you don't repent, you'll pay. If you don't repent, you'll be sorry. If you don't repent, judgment will come. But I need to put that down on my level and say the same thing. If I resist Him, if I say no to Him, if I don't let Him do the work in my life that He wants to do, I also will pay. I also will suffer. So let me say it like this. Not only the reason is simple, but the result is serious. The result is serious. If you notice through these verses, God said, I have pronounced it. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced, he said, it has already been declared. I have already, if you will, spoken the word. I have already put it into action. He's saying to Judah, he's saying to Israel, he's saying to his own people, judgment is coming because you have resisted me. It's on the way. Oh, the result is serious. They said no to God. They resisted His work. They refused to listen. They refused to give heed. They refused to obey. And the Lord said, because you have resisted me like that clay resisted the potter, there's going to be a result and it's going to be serious. Judgment's on the way. He says, I've already pronounced it.
I have already declared it. And if we resist the potter, if we resist his work in our lives, there's going to be serious results. There's going to be consequences, and they're not going to be good. Could I mention just two or three of them? When that clay resists the potter, when that clay does not give in to his work on that vessel or on that clay, number one, the potter is grieved. You understand, again, this is not just an afternoon of filling up time. Hey, this is not just some hobby he does out in his garage. This is a work. He's doing it because he loves it and because of something he's trying to accomplish. This is his task. This is his job. This is what he does. He makes vessels for those vessels to be used. And when that clay won't submit, it grieves him. I mean, he's put quite a bit of effort in it already. He's spent quite a bit of time in it already. There's a lot he's already done in this clay, and now it resists, and it grieves him. And when we resist the Lord, it grieves him. When we don't submit to him, it grieves him. We need to understand it breaks the heart of God when we don't submit and yield and obey. Listen to what the Bible says, just two or three examples. Genesis 6:6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. When he saw man refusing, resisting, rebelling, it grieved him that it even made man. It grieved him. It broke his heart. Why? Because he loves man. And when we resist, when we rebel, it breaks his heart. Listen again. The psalmist said in Psalm 78:40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. When he was leading his people around in circles in the wilderness, it grieved him because he saw, here's a people who will not listen. Here's a people who will not submit. Here's a people who will not respond. And they're hurting, and it's hurting me because they're hurting. Well, let's take it to the New Testament. Listen to what the Bible says, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we resist him, it grieves him. That potter's doing more than just a hobby. It's something that his heart's in. His life is devoted to that wheel and to that clay and those vessels. And when one resists, it grieves him. It breaks his heart. Well, I'm talking about the result is serious. Number one, it grieves the potter. Number two, the potential of the vessel is not met. The potter has in mind a particular vessel. He has in mind, he went to the riverbank with this one thought, this one vessel in mind. The whole process has been, I want to make this out of this lump of clay. I want to make a certain jar. I want to make a certain vessel. I want to make a certain bowl. This is where my goal is. This is what I'm trying to do out of this lump of clay. And when that clay resists and it's marred, that potential that he had for that lump is never met. I said it before, maybe he wanted to make a vase to sit on the king's table, to beautify the palace. Maybe that's what he wanted to do with that vessel. But because it's marred, the only thing he can do is, well, I'll make a bowl and maybe somebody can use it and toss some spare change in it. It'll never hold water. It'll never be a thing of beauty. It'll never become that I desired, but at least it'll be used somehow. The potential of that vase, the potential of that vessel, the potential of that clay will not be reached because it's resisted. And I wonder, where should we be tonight? Where would God desire us to be as far as our walk with the Lord? How could he be using us? But he can't because we've resisted him in the past. Oh, how important it is, how serious it is that we listen and submit and yield to him. Wonder what he could have done. Wonder how much more he wanted to accomplish. Wonder what we could have done for God had we not resisted him in the past. I'm talking about the result is serious. When that clay is marred, it hurts the potter. The vessel's not what it should be. But there's something else I thought about. The vessel itself is affected. Now, could I humanize this again? That vessel is affected in what the potter's doing. Instead of being a vase to you be used by a king, now it's over in some dark corner where somebody just throws their spare change and their keys and they just whatever it can be used for. The vessel itself, the clay itself, is affected. You see, maybe I could put it like this. The clay won't be happy. Can you understand that? The clay's not what it should be, and because it isn't, because it hasn't submitted to the potter, it's affected it. It's just not happy. It's not content. And when we don't submit to the potter, it'll take our joy away. We won't have peace because peace comes from him. And if we resist him, he's not going to give us peace when we're resisting him. He's not going to make us happy if we're not submitted to him. He's not going to give us full joy when we're not submitted, when we're resisting him. So there's a very serious result to this resisting the potter and resisting his touch. When we resist him, our desire will be gone. Our desire to serve him, our desire to live for him, our desire to see him work, we won't care. If God moves fine, if he doesn't fine, that's the result of resisting the Spirit. Because the Spirit is he who brings those things about in our lives. He's the one that produces joy. He's the one that produces peace. He's the one that gives us the desire. He's the one that gives us our zeal. He's the one that gives us our burden. And when we resist him, it hinders him from doing that he wants to do. Isn't that the picture? The potter's trying to do something with the clay, and it won't let him. And not only breaks his heart, and that vessel's not what the potter really wanted, but the vessel itself is affected. I'll say it again, the vessel's just not happy. And we'll never know the results until we stand before the Lord of how we've hindered the potter by resisting him. Well, look in verse 8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced judgments, it's on the way. I've already declared it. Turn from their evil. He said, if that nation, even though I have already declared it, if Judah, if Israel, if my people will repent, I will draw the judgment. I'll make sure it doesn't happen. I have pronounced it, and it is on the way. But if they'll repent, I will draw the judgment. And he's showing here. Notice what he says once again. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. He said, I've already initiated the judgment, but if they'll get right, I will draw it. Let me say it like this. The reason is simple. The result is serious. The remedy is shown. You read through these verses, it sounds pretty gloomy for the people of God, for Judah, for Israel. Sounds pretty bad. It sounds like they are doomed. But the Lord says there's a remedy. And I want to tell you what it is. Here it is. They don't like it, neither do we. The answer is, get right with me. Repent of your evils, what he says to Jeremiah's people, to the people of his people. The remedy is clear. The remedy is shown. He said, if you'll repent, I'll stop the judgment and I will bless you. Notice their response, verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. You know what he's saying? You know what they said? You know what their response to his message was? Repent or else. We ain't changing. We're not changing a thing. We will not repent. We will not get right. We will keep doing exactly what we've been doing. You know what happened? They did and God did. He judged them. We call it the Babylonian captivity. One of the worst times of God's people's history. God delivered them into Babylon, an enemy, an ungodly enemy. You see, God tried to work on them, and they resisted him. God tried to speak to them, and they wouldn't listen. God tried to help them, and they rebelled. God tried to do something good, and they wouldn't accept it. And the same thing happens to us so many times. The simple message is, they resist the potter. They won't give in to his touch. And friend, that's what we do so many times. We resist him. You see, he's wanting to do something wonderful. He's wanting to help us, but he can't help us unless we let him help us. For there's only one way he can help us, and that's his way. He's wanting to bless us, but the only way he can bless us is his way. And if we're resisting him, he can't help us. He can't bless us. He can't use us. His goal, his desire, is to make a vessel that's productive. A vessel he can use. A vessel that'll bring glory to him. And if we resist that, if we resist his work, no matter what it is, that can't be accomplished. The remedy was shown. If you'll recognize what's going on, realize what he's saying. Admit that he's right, and in Israel's case, repent. He said, I'll forgive you, and I'll turn the judgment away. But do you realize what that means? What that means is, the clay says to the potter, put me back on the wheel and start the work again. What that means is, if it takes hurting me, hurt me. If it takes problems, send them. If it takes trouble, send it. If my heart needs to be ripped out, rip it out. He is saying, for me to make you the vessel I desire you to be, you must stay submitted to me. And that hurts. And that's the opposite of what we want. But it's the only thing that's going to work. Submitting ourselves to him, yielding ourselves to him, even when we don't like it, even when we don't understand, it's the only way. It's the only way. And it's the last thing the clay wants. It's kind of like what I mentioned this morning. The will of God as opposed to the will of me. The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what God's will is in my life when I submit to it. When the clay yields to the potter, those things are what will happen in my life. My will, hurt, harm, bad, negative, against God, opposed to God, tears, heartache. Now, which do we want? Oh, listen, our way never works, but we don't realize so many times God's way is the best. Hello, Brother Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, After he had run halfway around the world through the belly of a whale and got spit back out, you know what God's will was? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Same thing. God's will doesn't change. Now, we can resist it, and we'll pay the consequence. We can fight against it, and we'll pay the consequence. It'll grieve him. We'll not be what he wants us to be, and it'll dishonor him. Or we can say, Lord, have your will. I'm the potter. Excuse me. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Do with me what you will. To have your will with me, I will not rebel. I will not resist. I give in. Again, it means that the clay says, I'm giving myself back to you. Wonder how many times we've had to be reworked. Wonder how many times the potter said, oh, no, not again. Wonder how many times we've resisted him and said no to him, and he had to beat us back down, flatten us back out, and start working on us again. And you know what? He's still using the same hands and the same wheel and the same water and the same work, and it's still the same wheel. It's not going to change. Whatever God's will is for my life, it will not change. Whatever God's will is for your life, it will not change. And I promise you this, God's will is the best thing. And when we're fighting against His will, we're fighting against the best thing that we could ever imagine in this world. The clay was marred. Paul was a man who loved the Lord, and he feared nothing or no one. But there's one thing he was afraid of, and that was that somehow God would set him on the shelf and not be able to use him. He didn't want to be in the point to where he would be, as he called it, disapproved, where God couldn't use him. That's the one thing he feared. That's the one thing he fought against. That's the one thing he wanted to make sure that I never get to the point to where the potter has to set me aside or break me down again. Folks, what I'm trying to say tonight is the Father, the potter, has a will for our lives, and He wants to use us. And how we respond to Him and how we submit to Him and how we yield to Him, oh, it'll determine how easy the process is or how difficult it is. Sort of like the prophet old, we ought to say, here am I, send me. Use me any way you can. Make me into what you can. Use me for your glory. Do you resist him? Do you submit? Do you yield? Do you fight against the circumstances of your life? Do you fight against what the potter's trying to do? Oh, may we submit and yield. May we give our all. Let's stand together. Mindy, if you'll come. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that would need to say, I want to climb back on the wheel. I want to yield myself back to the potter. I want to say once again to him, I'm the clay and you're the potter. Do with me as you desire. And maybe somebody here tonight lost. You mind the Lord. Father, please speak to hearts and help us to listen to you.